Welcome to Between Faith and Reason with Jeff Lawrence.
What happens when the weight of performance becomes too heavy for young shoulders to carry? In today's culture of achievement, many student athletes are battling not just the competition, but anxiety, stress, depression, and the relentless pressure to be perfect. The field or the court used to be their outlet. Now, for many, it's become a battleground for identity, worth, and peace of mind. On this episode of Between Faith and Reason, we step into that tension with guest Bradley Mack, a licensed mental health counselor and the creator of The Balanced Blueprint, a wellness program designed specifically for high-achieving teen athletes. Bradley knows this world firsthand, not just as a clinician, but as someone who grew up in the spotlight and struggled with the perfectionism and burnout that oftentimes come with it. Together, we talk about how student athletes can break free from performance-based identity and find emotional balance, confidence, and purpose beyond the scoreboard. Whether you're a parent, coach, or student yourself, this conversation is essential in a world where pressure is rising and mental health is too often neglected. Now let's get right into it. Welcome back to Between Faith and Reason. Jeff Lawrence here. So great to have you all listening. And today I'm excited about this podcast. As you heard in the introduction, I'm excited to have Bradley here. And we are going to take on a subject that I believe is a pivotal, important, critical subject today. And if you're a parent listening to this, man, I would stop and be ready to listen carefully, even take notes. As parents, we have our kids for such a short time, but we're positioning them for success for their whole life. And Bradley and I had an opportunity to sit down and talk about some of the struggles we see in today's students and today's kids. And one of the things that, Bradley, welcome, great to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
One of the things that we talked about is the pressure that kids are under today to perform. And that pressure comes from many different directions, and it comes from the academic direction, perform, make the best grades, go to the best colleges, get ahead in life and get there early, way ahead of everybody else, perform in arts, and perform in sports. Sports seems to be even more so of a pressure cooker. And so today we're going to talk specifically about what the problem is so that everybody understands. I'm a big believer in calling out the pink elephant in the room. We need to understand what the situation really is. And only then can we come up with some solutions. So, Bradley, what I want to do is I want to start with the issue that a lot of student athletes are facing, the pressures that they're facing and what it's causing. Because we did a podcast several months ago around the anxious generation, talking about the rise of unhealth in not just spiritual life, physical life, but emotional. And so I want us to talk about that a little bit. So let's hop in and talk about some of the problem, where the problem lies.
Yeah, absolutely. So like you said, we have a huge problem on our hands. It's imperative that we take note of this, because if we don't, our teens are going to have bigger problems in the future. So right now, 91% of high school athletes have high levels of stress during their seasons. And over 70% of high-achieving teens, they're struggling with chronic stress. And then this is leading to depression, anxiety, and they're learning this at such a critical age. And so what we're doing is we're continuing to wire this in their brain and solidify this. And that's the crisis we're sort of causing our children, our teens.
Yeah. So, you know, adults have stress, right? Yeah. We have stress because, you know, we're raising a family or we're stressed at work or so forth. And we know that. But it used to be, man, when I was a kid, I didn't know what stress was. Yeah. I had no idea, you know? And I played sports. But nobody put any pressure on me. I wasn't going to necessarily play. I played at the college level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it was fun. I enjoyed it. But I see a difference today, right?
Yeah.
There's this pressure to perform, which, by the way, sports, sometimes when kids are playing them, seems to, I don't know how quite to say this other than becomes bigger than it should be. In other words, it eclipses everything else. So they're practicing all the time, practice, then play, practice. And they're under this exorbitant amount of stress to perform, right?
Yeah. I read an article recently where it's comparative to an adult working a corporate job that they hate every single day and the stress that comes with that.
Mm.
And it's like, why are the teens having that same, you know, experience and that same stress level as an adult working a corporate job that they hate and they're just stressed to the max? Our teens should not be feeling that way.
Right.
And that's what we have to take care of.
So where's that coming from?
So during the teen years, right, it's the brain is still developing, right? This is called the identity stage, if you're familiar with Erikson. And this is all about identity and who am I? And what we're doing is these teens that are high performing and they're going to this camp and practice and doing XYZ. I've heard on average a teen works like maybe 80 hours a week, probably more, between games, practice, homework, if they have a part-time job, you know, extra practice, going to the gym. Like, it's nonstop for them.
Yeah.
And what we're doing is we're creating this performer mindset. And remember when I just said, like, this is the identity stage. And then we're having this performer mindset. I must perform to do this. And so then, what? They're stressed. They're, you know, feeling guilty if they don't put in the extra practice. They're tying their identity to, if I win this game or I need to just push through, right? We're essentially rewiring the brain that they must perform. This is my identity. And then that is the issue we're creating. And then fast forward to when they're adults, what does that look like as adults, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to be the same thing, but way worse.
Right.
Like in their jobs, in their relationships, they now have solidified that burnout is a normal thing that mm-hmm. they're supposed to just endure, when that doesn't have to be the case.
So the mental health of these kids at the end of the day is taking a hit, right?
Yeah. It's at stake. And we have to do something about it, because like I said, we're locking in.
Yeah.
They are during that identity stage. It's like, who am I? Oh, I must do this. If I achieve this,
right,
you know, then I will receive praise or accomplishment. And that starts to tie into their identity. So what happens when that doesn't happen? What happens if they don't go pro? What happens if, you know, they, quote, fail, right? And it just affects the part of the brain. And the big thing right now with teens is burnout. And because you don't really see those signs, they're hidden. And it doesn't really affect their game yet, but it affects, you know, feeling guilty when they just want to rest and pushing through. They're just taught, just push through. Go, right. Go take a nap and then come back tomorrow and just push through, yeah. Right? So we're just locking in on this pattern. And what that does is we have, you know, cortisol, right? Mm-hmm. That's the stress hormone.
Right.
And so that, you know, just starts to form more and more. And that then affects the prefrontal cortex, right? The decision-making part of the brain, the rash side of the brain, just making a simple decision. And then the amygdala, which is, it's almost like the guard dog, right? It's the danger. And we're creating this pattern of, I gotta be perfect. And if I don't, I'm gonna be a failure, or all my self-worth will just go down the drain. And so we're creating this constant pattern of danger, right? So stress hormone, I no longer can think rationally. Maybe I'm irritable or I'm snapping at my parents. And then, you know, danger, danger, danger. And so that is the pattern that we're continuing to repeat and repeat. And that's the pattern that will lock in. And then that's usually what happens. And then they end up in my office as adults.
Yeah. Yeah.
I see it all the time. And a lot of times it stems from those teen years, the identity years.
So in many ways, our desire as a parent, so I'm a parent.
Yeah.
My desire for my kids to achieve, mm-hmm. you know, I want what's best for my kids. There's no parent listening to this that wants anything less than to give their kids their possibly, you know, their highest best, right?
Sure.
And so as a parent, you know, we encourage them to achieve. We encourage them to do their best.
Mm-hmm.
But I think unknowingly, we're part of the problem. We're a big part of the problem, right? Yeah. And so if you're a parent out there listening, I mean, stopping and realizing what's going on, and you may not recognize that it's even happening,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And here's the thing with parents. Yeah. You might not even recognize it's happening, or you don't have any ill intentions about this. Right. But look in the mirror as well. Are you struggling with anxiety? Are you struggling with perfectionism or people pleasing? Mm. And, you know, with perfectionism, people think that's, you know, a personality trait, or that's how I am. No, it's a stress response that you've learned, right? And, you know, how are you dealing with burnout? Do you also just push through? And this is just how it is, because our teens, they mirror that. They see that, and they see, oh, that's just how life is. And it doesn't have to be that way.
It's not how life is.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Doesn't have to be.
No, not at all. But ask yourself as a parent, do you struggle with any of these things? Do you struggle with perfectionism, people pleasing? You know, do you have chronic burnout? How do you take care of that?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you see it creep in to other areas of your life, your relationships, your job. Like, how do you rest? And, you know, ask if you're answering like, oh, wow, I don't take care of myself, or I do push through burnout, or I am a perfectionist, and see where that stems from. Yeah. Where does that come from?
Yeah. Yeah. And so they're just transferring that to their kids, right?
Yeah.
Don't mean to.
No.
Don't mean to. Don't realize it. So it reminds me of a neighbor that I had several years ago, and they had three young boys.
Mm-hmm.
And literally they spent the weekend in their minivan, going from game to game to game. And then in the week, they go to karate, one took piano, they were gone all the time, right?
Yeah.
And so I remember one time, actually this happened several times. They came home on a Saturday, and our family, we chose a different path. Mm-hmm. Our kids were involved in one sport, and we embraced margin. So we did things around the house together. Those were my time to be a dad and to
yeah.
to speak into my kids and just to build rapport with my kids in time, but not, I did not transfer that over to a coach, right? Yeah. So the dad would come out and like, I'd be mowing the grass or whatever. And he'd come out and he'd come over and I'm telling you, it wasn't, hey, how you doing? You know, what's happening? There was no small talk. He would go straight to the core of the problem. And he would look at me just worn out, tired. Yeah. Oh, by the way, when they got home, there was screaming. Everybody was screaming at each other. Oh, I mean, I'd hear them getting out of the van. And their mom was mad because she's stressed, because she's tired. Dad's like, you know, how do I get out of this? It was just a mess. So he would come over and he'd say, yeah, we just got back from another weekend. And he would go straight to the problem. And he would ask me a question. He would say, is there any way out of this? Seriously. Mm. He'd look at me and goes, is there any way out of this? And I mean, you know, I look at him and say, you mean your schedule and everything? He goes, yeah, living this way. He said, I see you have kids and I see you guys seem to be doing it differently, you know? And I realized in that moment that he literally did not know how to get out of this.
Yeah.
They were living a life that he didn't want to live, and he was fearful of the effect it was going to have on his kids long term.
Yeah.
And so one day I just said to him, I said, you know, here's the thing I'll tell you, man. The power of the positive no.
Mm-hmm.
I said, your dad, hopefully you lead in your home, you guide, you serve. Leading means serving. And understanding a biblical concept of servanthood. So the power of the positive no is just saying no to good things and yes to great things, right? And so what are the great things for you? You know, the great things are not going to be what you think they are. The great things are going to be the things that build your kids. So anyhow, all that to say, I think there's some solutions for parents, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I would say the first thing is recognizing it, right?
Yeah.
So you want to speak to that? Maybe some, if a parent is listening going, I'm not sure what's going on, or you've just said, look at yourself first, look in the mirror, which 100% agree with you on that.
Yeah.
What's maybe some next steps from there?
Yeah. So it's funny when you said that with that family and they're all just kind of snapping at each other, right?
Yeah.
And they're irritable. But what's happening there is whenever you hear things like irritability or we're snapping, beneath the surface in that subconscious, there's a need not being met.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think that need is with that family? Mm-hmm. Right, we're not being a family, we're being like a family machine, just going from point A to point B to point Z, like we're just go. And so we got people that are tired, people that just don't want to go. And so you got mom, her needs aren't getting met because she's stressed and busy all the time and doesn't have time to just take care of herself. You got dad just driving all day and he's exhausted. And then you got the child that just really just wants to hang out, have fun. And so the need is just not being met. And so now we're kind of lashing out at each other or we're short with each other. So that's I would say the next thing is like, oh, am I finding myself a little bit irritable? Is my teen shutting down and just saying, I'm fine, I'm tired? Like, what's that about, right? Are they snapping? Are you snapping? So that's the next thing, is the awareness of like, whoa, where is this coming from?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah.
And awareness is key to everything. It's key to change. And I would say start with that next of like, okay, what are my needs? What's not being met right now? What do I actually need? Do I actually need to go to another practice or sign up for another sport? Like, what is going on inside?
Yeah. So the kids, one of the things I hear from people so often is, well, my kids want to do this. Well, my kids want to play this part. Well, my kids want to. And from what I'm hearing you say, you're saying, look in the mirror first. Are you sure they want to? Are you sure you want to? Sometimes parents, we think the more active my kid is, the more I have them over here playing a sport, the less they get in trouble.
Yeah.
Actually, what you're telling me and some of the statistics is you're actually taking them in your minivan or in your car. Sorry, not picking on minivans. us guys, you know, we have a tough time with minivans. But you might actually be taking them to the place that is the most dangerous for them. And yeah. You don't even realize it, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's asking what is the intention behind doing this? What is, you know, asking your child, like, why do you want to do this? What's the reason, right? And there's a difference if, yeah, you're passionate about it and you absolutely love it, sure. But if the intention is, I'm just doing it because mom and dad want me to, or even the parents saying, I just want them to do it so they can get a scholarship or whatever,
right?
We got to check our intentions. Our intentions lining up with, you know, who they are to your values as well. Are your intentions lined up with your family values?
Yeah. So, I will pause and say this. There's nothing wrong with sports. Sports is great.
No.
They learn so much on the
Absolutely.
Sport field, right? I did. My kids did. My kids mm-hmm. were involved. But there was balance.
Absolutely.
There was balance. And, you know, I think it's the American way is part of the problem. Mm-hmm. I think we run and run and run and run until we run ourselves into burnout or into total emotional distraught. You know, we go because it's the American way. And sometimes our kids will be, yeah, I can't wait to play this. I can't wait to play that. But you as a parent, you know, you're given the responsibility of knowing what's best for your kid in a balance.
Yes.
I think a kid having an opportunity to play a sport and then one day just sit down with a book. Now, that's crazy to say, because most of the parents listen, they go, I'll never get my kid to read a book. You know, I'd never get my kid, you know, they're going to be on their, they're going to be playing Xbox. They're going to be doing this and that. And I'm like, oh, well, you're the parent. So you actually get to choose what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Maybe you need to model it,
mm-hmm.
you know? So one of the things that we're seeing statistically is not only the rise in anxiety and depression mm-hmm. because our kids are so stretched and feel the need to perform and they're looking for their identity, but there's a whole nother set, and this is another podcast, so I don't want to go down the rabbit hole here. I'm just saying it. But our kids today, and sometimes it's reflected in mom and dad, are lacking serious critical reasoning skills.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I see, and we're seeing it. And we're seeing it in reference to some of the other statistics we're seeing around the world, that our kids are having difficulty with critical reasoning, mm-hmm. the ability to look at A and B and compare them and to judge through logical skills what reality is. And that's, to me, it always comes back to, what is your worldview? You know?
Yeah.
There are many worldviews out there. You know, what exactly is your worldview? Well, the biblical worldview guides us to something different,
mm-hmm.
you know? The Bible talks about Jesus. Jesus came to remove the chains from the prisoner, to set us free from the expectations of culture, set us free from the expectations of each other. Because our identity is not what we do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not how we perform. It's who we are. Do our kids really understand that, right?
Yeah.
Do the kids know that, no, don't look in the mirror to find your greatest worth, because there's going to be days you're going to look in the mirror and not like what you see, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I do that. Like, my hair's getting gray, right? I mean, I'm like, what's happening with that? At least I still have hair. I mean, that's good.
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't like that look. Well, okay, but that's not who you are, mm-hmm. right? And I think our kids are struggling with that. So back to the whole subject of that identity, everything seems to kind of come back to that. And so maybe, if you don't mind, maybe for a second,
sure.
let's talk about that identity issue, right? A little bit.
Yeah. Well, the world sort of teaches, you know, your identities in achievement, and, you know, excelling and being successful and, you know, winning this game, winning that, like, and that's the performance mindset. And so we're teaching that at the such an early age where then, like I said, that's the identity stage. And we're teaching it is imperative to achieve. And right. So what happens when you don't achieve? What happens if you don't get that scholarship? What happens if you don't go pro?
Precisely.
What happens if you that relationship doesn't work out? Like, it's everything is performance mindset. And that is what then leads to chronic stress, depression, anxiety, panic attacks, because we have this mindset of achievement and, you know, fear of failure, right?
Yeah.
And that's the epidemic that we're creating unintentionally,
yeah,
from parents. But, you know, we rave on like success and highlight reels, all of these things of this is what I need to do to be happy and to succeed.
I've quoted this before, and I may even on a podcast. It was a secular gathering where a billionaire was sitting on the stage and questions were being asked. And he was asked this one question. It was, how do you define success? Well, everybody expects, he's a billionaire. So everybody's expecting, well, when I bought and sold my first company, you know, or when I made my first million, or when I was able to cross over the billion mark, whatever that is, right? And he shocked everybody, completely shocked everybody. And later, he was able to speak on this more, but this is what he said. He said, I can tell you real easy. I'll tell you very simply what success is for me. When my kids are grown, they want to be with me.
Mm.
Now, people laughed, literally. People laughed like, ha, 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 now what is it really? And he goes, you don't understand. That is it. It has nothing to do with money. It has nothing to do with success. It has everything to do with what you're doing right now as a parent. Because what you're doing right now as a parent is going to build that relationship in time. It's going to create a relationship with your kids,
yeah,
that they receive from you. They always know this is a place of safety. They always, and you're establishing that relationship because you spend time with them. So, Bradley, one thing I can tell parents, having worked with their kids outside the home, having listened to what kids say, one of the things I hear repeating over and over and over again is, you know, what do you really want? What are the things that you long for the most? It isn't, I want the best new car. I want the best clothes. I want, you know, new computer. I want the new game. They never say that. When the parents are in there, they never say that. You know what they always say? Always. I want more time with mom and dad. Now, some of the parents listen to this go, no, you don't understand. I have a teenager. They do not want to be with me. And I said, no, you misunderstand. They want to be with you. You, quality time with you.
Yeah.
Not with mom and dad fighting, fussing, not with stuff going on. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about quality time with mom and dad. That's the thing they seek the most, right?
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times we give that over to coaches.
Mm-hmm.
We give over our rights as mom and dad to trainers, to other people that are there, and we look to them to build that when it's really our job, right? And the kids want us.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, well, what that is, and I see this all the time in my office, and that's, they want that unconditional love. And you know, I see a lot of variety of clients, right? And as a counselor, I provide that model of unconditional love when I'm holding space for people and their stories. And I am essentially that consistency that they never received.
Yeah.
And as parents, you know, I'm a dad as well. It's important to provide that unconditional love, because the parents, the mother, is the first to give their child unconditional love, followed by the father, right? And so if you're just kind of pushing that off to others, or you're not present with them, right, how do you think they're receiving that?
Yeah.
And yeah. And then mix that in with the performance value. Now we're teaching them conditional love.
Mm.
So if I do this, I'll be loved. I'll receive praise, or I'll get mom and dad's attention, or, you know, success will happen. And it's this fake conditional love. See how we're conditioning our teens?
Yeah.
And where we all, you know, we deserve that unconditional love from our family. And that's like the best thing you can do for a teen that is stressed out or burnt out is provide them that unconditional love. They want to feel seen. That's the power of therapy, is people feel seen for the first time ever. And where they should have had that.
Yeah.
It shouldn't have been me that had given them the first time to make them feel seen, right? That they should have had that, and they didn't receive that. And that is the best thing you can do for your kids, especially during that identity stage, because at least they know mom and dad, they love me no matter what.
It's a place of safety. It's a place of home. It's a place of comfort. It's a place of hope. So I want to switch gears here.
Sure.
So we know what the problem is.
Yeah.
It's very clear. Mom and dad, you may not have known what the problem is. You may see some of the signs. So hopefully this part of the conversation has been helpful for you to be able to stop that and become aware. So you and I had an opportunity to sit down a week or two ago, and you shared your heart for these students who are struggling, and specifically in the sports arena, because that seems to be the highest pressure cooker. And I agree with you.
Yeah.
I see that as well. We're seeing a lot of trends that are not headed in the right direction, and we've been talking about it. We actually have hard data now that tells us that we are not progressing in the right direction. And the statistics of stress, anxiety, depression, suicide are actually growing exponentially, and they're highest actually among student athletes. So here's where I want to switch the conversation a little bit, because I want to go to solution based now. So
yeah,
you shared with me how you've been praying this through, thinking this through. You are a clinical therapist. You see people all the time, counseling, and how God kind of put it on your heart to start a new company where you provide services specifically adapted to the student athlete, right?
Yes.
And so what I want to do is talk a little bit about that now, and
sure.
and talk about, because parents may be in a position, I mean, I get it, where you're like, I don't quite know what to do, and I don't even know if we have a problem, but I want to find out if we have a problem, and I want to be proactive. What do I do? Who do I see? Where do I go? Right?
Yeah.
And that's why we're doing this podcast. So talk a little bit about this new company that you've started, with the focus of addressing the problem that we've just been talking about.
Yeah. Well, I think I feel like this has been maybe 15, 20 years in the making, because I also was a high achieving teen. I wasn't, you know, an athlete, in my teen years, but I was a performer. I was a professional working actor. And so I did the whole Los Angeles thing, and I moved out there, graduated high school a year early, and I was constantly, you know, in that hustle mode, burnt out, very intimidated by directors, managers pushing me in different directions, and acting coaches. And deep down, I was anxious. I was, you know, scared, intimidated. I felt guilty when I just wanted to rest and not go to acting class or not go to that audition. And it stuck with me all the way from the teen years into my adult years. And I'm still unlearning things through my program.
Right.
I'm unlearning a lot of things, and it took a lot of therapy myself to unlearn what I learned through my teen years and then 20s. And that's, you know, where I had that heart for teens, because I know where it's rooted from. Yeah. And so I created the Balance Blueprint for high achieving teen athletes. And what it, you know, the program helps, you know, it still helps teens maintain peak performance if they still want to perform, but we work on burnout. Mm. We work on emotional regulation and building that unshakable confidence that isn't tied to the results or performance or stats, grades, whatever. And we develop habits and healthy coping mechanisms and decision-making skills that will help them now, but also set up a foundation for, you know, college, for their 20s, adult years, and for the rest of their life, right? Because you have two options. We either have the foundation we're building now unintentionally, that we're wiring that brain for that constant stress cycle, or we work on the identity, we work on emotional regulation, we work on what it truly means to take care of yourself and feel regulated and know boundaries and all of that. So it, kind of in a nutshell, that's what the program would, you know, entails. And that includes coaching calls with me on a weekly basis and checking in. That's the biggest thing you can do, is having someone to just check in with.
Right.
Not on right. How'd the game go, not did you do this, did you do that. It's how are you doing? We got to get back to being a human being
Yeah.
We're not human machines,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We're human beings.
Yeah.
So we need to be again. Yeah. And that's what I'm trying to do with high achieving teen athletes.
So as a dad.
Yeah.
It's real easy for me to look at my kids and say, okay, I hear you. Brush it off.
Mm-hmm.
Brush it off. Pick it up and just let's grind it. Let's grind it. You're going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get through this, but you got to tough it out. Tough it out. Now that's kind of me, you know, I think a lot of dads are that way. I think there's a lot of dads out there, and maybe some moms as well. Right. But here's the way I look at what you just said. So if my kid, you know, recently my daughter, she's in pre-med, she's working, doing some internships in the hospital at this stage, some clinical stuff, and she started catching everything she was around, right?
Yeah.
And so...
Oh, no.
Yeah, and I'm like, don't bring that home
and
share the love there. But when my kids get sick, have a fever, have a cough, don't feel good, I know there's something wrong immediately.
Yeah.
And I have an immediate concern for their health, because we all know sometimes where those things could potentially lead if you don't take care of them, even in kids, right? And my daughter had asthma, so when she gets a cough, I immediately think about bronchitis, pneumonia, I think she's had all those things. So we immediately get her to a doctor,
mm-hmm.
because we're going to address the big problems, because I saw symptoms.
Yeah.
The symptom is not the problem. You know, we're going to get to a doctor to diagnose the problem so we can treat the problem, not treat the symptoms, right?
Yeah.
We don't do that well with emotional distress at all. Instead, it's, no, you need to suck it up and you need to just, you know, hop in there and keep going. Well, I don't say that to my daughter when she's got a temperature.
Yeah.
I don't, you know?
No.
So it's not any different, Bradley. It's not any different. And so that's why I really want folks who are listening to stop and consider this truth. Is that your kid's emotional health is connected to their physical health, is connected to their spiritual health.
Yes.
And when any of those three are out of balance, your kid needs help.
Yeah.
Needs help, right? And we're sometimes dads are like, we don't understand that world. And probably it's because we need help, to be honest with you, you know.
We also need emotional regulation.
We do. And so I just want to speak to that, because what you've started, what you're doing, is you're addressing the problem and you're making this available to parents who are truly self-aware, who are a little bit ahead of the rest of the crowd and realizing that there's a problem, and they want to give their kids a doctor, you know, somebody who's going to treat not the symptoms, right, but the center of the problem.
Yeah.
And so I'm hearing that's what you do. I see that's what you do. That's why we're doing this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, we're getting to the root of it and the why behind it. And emotional regulation, that is key to a lot of things. It's important to recognize, you know, how we're feeling, what are our emotions telling us? So that way we don't act on our emotions, right? If you're angry and you don't want to act on that, right? Because that could have some bad side effects. But it's like, okay, what am I feeling right now? I'm feeling sad because I am just so overwhelmed. I don't get to just do these things that I really want to do. And if we don't let those emotions out and we don't name those emotions, what are we doing? We're bottling.
Yeah.
We're stuffing. Once again, identity issues. We continue to stuff and stuff and stuff. Our emotions don't matter, just achievements. And we continue to stuff that. And pretty soon we're going to stuff and something's going to go and blow.
Something's gonna go.
Yeah. And that's why it's important to teach that and to learn emotional regulation. And I mean, you see it with adults, and sometimes men can struggle with this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, think about who in your life maybe has a hard time being accountable for their actions or apologizing, right? Because they don't have that emotional maturity. Mm. They didn't learn that. So maybe it's like, oh, I didn't do anything wrong, right?
Right.
They deny it. And, right. But we've developed that because we taught, you know, emotion's bad, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And really regulating and knowing to bring out those emotions and name those emotions. What is it that I'm feeling? That is how you regulate. That's how you take care of yourself. And instead of ignoring it, suppressing it, and then, you know, that comes out in burnout and or shutting down. Does your teen shut down and not talk to you? Right? They don't know how to get those emotions out. So yeah, it's emotional regulation is key. And that's something, you know, in my coaching program that we would, you know, discuss and learn how to do.
So if I'm a parent and I'm hearing this and I'm like, you know, I've seen a few symptoms, I've seen a few signs, you know, and yes, we are running. The encouragement to you is there's always tomorrow. There's always hope. There's always an opportunity to make change. I said the power of the positive no, right? Say no to a few things. It's okay.
Yeah.
It really is okay. And even if your kids want to do those things, it's okay because you're going to give a yes to the greater thing. So I believe that your coaching, the services that you offer through your new company is a greater yes. And that's the reason I wanted to have you on here. So if I'm a parent, and specifically we're here at Foundation Academy because we have a lot of student athletes, you know, we have a lot of them, and I see the byproduct. And mom and dad, it's sometimes, you know, it's hard for our kids because sometimes they hide things from you. You know, they want to be strong for us. You know, they don't want mom and dad to be worried or to think badly of them. And so we see it sometimes when they let their guard down, you know. We see it when they're not able to regulate their emotions, you know, all that. So if I'm a mom and dad and I'm interested in getting a hold of you, which I highly would recommend you reaching out to Bradley. So tell me how they can do that.
Yeah. So I have a private Facebook group for, you know, parents with high-achieving teen athletes, and it's called the Balance Blueprint, and you can go to facebook.com/groups/thebalanceblueprint. You can also email me at bradley@thebalanceblueprint.care. And I also have an Instagram page where I provide more tips and info at thebalanceblueprint.coaching. Inside my private Facebook group, though, we will have live seminars, teachings, and we will also have pamphlets and resources that you can utilize and then learn more about the program that I offer. And it's a 12-week program. So yeah, those are the ways you can reach me.
Very good. And what we'll do is we'll put all of that in our show notes. So if you're on the podcast and you want to go to show notes, you'll be able to find those links there to find you. And you know, I'm excited that you're here. I want to thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and I also want to thank you for being sensitive to the issues at hand. And, you know, at some point in a podcast, typically people, if you've been listening, you'd expect me to say, you know, God has a better story here. And I believe in this situation, yes, God does have a better story. And that better story is that he wants to walk with him in understanding truth, truth being that we find our identity in him. We were created to walk with him, to know him. But I'm also reminded of one of my favorite Psalms where God says, be still and know that I'm God. And I often tell people it's the precursor is be still. He doesn't say run around and know. As you go, know. As you achieve, know. He doesn't say any of those things.
Yeah.
What he actually says is be still. Yeah. In other words, be quiet. Quit talking. Quit listening to whatever you're listening to. You can finish this podcast, then you can be quiet.
Yeah.
But, you know, put down social media. Put down your phone. Be still before him. And know. The know part is where we get our security.
Mm-hmm.
Because what God is saying is, I go before you. I come behind you. I hem you in. I numbered all of your days before one of them began.
Yeah.
I am here with you. I am a good and loving father, and I've got you, and you don't have to perform at all. Now, does God call us to perform and give our best 100%?
Absolutely.
But we do it in a healthy way,
yes.
Right? So when we have these conversations, I always go back to the be still and know that I am God. And the last part of it is he says, I will be exalted among the heavens. I will be exalted over all the earth. So he's saying, I'm going to be exalted. Do you want to be a part of it? Do you want to join all creation in this? Don't miss it.
Mm-hmm.
So mom and dad, as you're racing down the highway, as you're working to get your kids that scholarship or you know, go to that university or that, those things are all good.
Yes.
They're good. But what is best? What are the greater things? And the greater things are, like that billionaire, one day when they're grown, they will have known me and walked with me at such an intimate level that they will want to be with me. There's no greater gift, right? And they will walk in the faith that I have modeled for them, and they will walk in security, you know,
yeah.
And they will teach their kids and their kids' kids. It goes on and on. So I want to thank you, man. Thank you for what you're doing. It's much needed.
Yes, it is. And thank you for having me. And it's funny how you mentioned be still, because that's essentially where I got the inspiration from with my program. It's even in my LLC. It's called BE Coaching. So be. So yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't even know that.
Yes.
There must be biblical truth in there somewhere.
Absolutely.
God has a greater story. God has a greater story. So man, it's great having you here. And again, follow up. Look in the show notes, get in contact with Bradley. I think he can offer a whole lot more on a personal level to you, and it's well worth it. So thank you, man. And if you'll hang around for just one moment longer, I've just got some final parting thoughts for you. Pressure is inevitable, but peace, That's a choice and a process. As we reflect on today's conversation, one truth stands tall. Our worth isn't in our wins, not our stats, not our trophies, not the applause. True identity is not performance-based. It's purpose-based. It's rooted in something deeper, more eternal. So to the student athlete striving to make the team or the parent cheering in the stands, remember, strength isn't just how hard you push, it's how well you pause. It's the courage to say, I am more than this moment. And that's where the real victory begins. Until next time, keep wrestling with the tension between faith and reason. And keep asking the deeper questions. That's where transformation happens.
Thank you for joining us today, and we hope you found it inspirational, informative, and enlightening. Please be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit us at foundationacademy.net/behindfaithandreason. Thank you to our sponsors, Foundation Academy, where they have been building a foundation for life since 1958 in partnership with The Observer, you, your neighbors, your neighborhood.